So first on the list, we have got Damien Donnelly, please. Big round of applause, please.
I'll take out my gun. Is it one poem or two, or how does it work?
Oh, 3 minutes per person. So if you can fit two in, no problem.
All right. Thank you very much. I'm going to read a poem from my debut collection, Eat the Storms, which was published by the Hedgehog Poetry Press last October. And the poem that I'm going to read, if I can find it, is called Tattered Brown Trousers. Father ate all the flowers in the shadows of the back garden because he couldn't swallow the promise of happiness blooming within the home he couldn't find his root within. Father left all the flowers in the front garden, too proud for others to see him pulling from the soil everything he needed help with, but had not been thought the words for. Father liked to laugh first when others lost, so that no one could hear his own loss tearing at him like weeds, twisting behind the restraints he wore like those inside-out jumpers and tattered brown trousers he thought no one could see through. Father ate all the flowers in the shadows of the back garden and choked on a laugh that no one understood. Thank you very much. And the second poem I'm going to read, if I can get it in, is from actually another collection. It's my Stickleback collection that came out just last month, also published by the Hedgehog Poetry Press. And it is basically five poems based on five paintings seen in five galleries in five different countries with five different boys. So it's about color connection. And this painting is based on a Salvador Dali painting, which is Young Woman at the Window. And it's called Dali Distractions. I was in London when we first met. You were on loan and I something else. You were on a wall, looking out from shadow to sea, seeing cerulean, freshly dressed from a bed that had held you in place, twist of the leg caught between the twitch of decision. There were moments to come in and others that let you leave. Tides learn of the waves recoil only when it drops its guard upon the shore. You leant on that ledge, window opening in, looking for a ladder to bring you out of that longing. In the distance, across a cold concrete concourse of tourist-traversed space, in a time that wasn't mine or yours, you perfected illusions of contentment. Slow sway of the hip as if to seduce. I was in London when we first met, and I recognized your distraction. So close to the water that never succumbed to cessation, though you had forgotten how to swim. Funny that. An islander growing for herself a fear of drowning that no one could see on your face, looking out from within the frame that held you once so tightly in its place. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Damien. And if you've got links and you want to put your work into the chat, please feel free. Great. So next, can we please have Colm Scully?
Thanks, Jim. I'm going to, with all the talk of vaccines and where they're made and the companies that make them, I said I'd read a poem about a pharmaceutical plant. I worked in the pharmaceutical industry for 30 years up to recently. So this is a poem set in an abandoned pharmaceutical plant or a just shut down pharmaceutical plant. It's called Ghost. Row upon row of pipework flexing muscle, tendons of the empty factory shell. Down clean room corridors in silence, arteries to the vessels at the heart. That's where the boys geared up for night shift. Beard masks and hard hats, acid suits and boots. That's where they're charged the dark blue glass reactors, chill in the quiet evenings making cures. That was the admin block, the empty hallways, pictures in open offices of kids at home, the work, the sweat, the energy exuded, long since deserted desks piled high with books. The boardroom looks out over a tarnished tank farm, the cast down eyes of a collapsed Venetian blind. Thanks.
Thanks very much, Cullum. Great, great poem. Okay, next, can we please have Michelle DeLay?
Thanks, Jim. Woman growing gorgeous. A sweetheart neckline sweeps a white love heart across her chest, redraws the one of blood and muscle inches away, rib caged. Stained tulip blue to match, her dress in floral to match, her butterfly sleeves resting on her shoulder, perching as long as the night lasts. Her dress draws her constantly. Sweetened shade of lip skin colours in between the peach draws me to the love heart line that bows her lip. Work of art in a doorframe, skeleton leaning, stretches, arch your arms, strike, and she smiles satisfied. New lines draw themselves towards her eyes. Thanks, everyone. Thanks for your poems.
And congrats again on winning the 5-word challenge, Michelle. Okay, next, can we please have Ada Miles?
Thanks. This one is about, I have a guest cooker at home or a stove or something, and it has like 5 handles, and every time I leave the kitchen, I check over and over and over that they're all turned out. And it's like a terrible thing, and of late it's got even worse in this lockdown. Many of the things have gotten a bit worse. So this is about that. 5 horizontal bastards, 5 left to right, and 5 right to left. No gas leaks. They're turned out. The stove is safe. I rest my case. 5 times every 5 seconds. So that's it. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Ada. Next, can we have Emily Davis Fletcher, please?
Thank you. Hi, everyone. I want to plug a workshop that I have coming up the end of February with the Pat Conroy Literary Center. So I'll put that in there. It's a workshop called Love Across the Pages. So it's all about writing poems of love and desire and loss and longing. And this poem actually has a lot of those. So, so this poem is... Oh, and there's 2 scholarships in that workshop as well, so I'll put that information in the chat. A whale made of felt. 1. In a sun-splashed room full of harpoons, we glide along with a crowd, gazing at rusted shanks and barbed mouths. Harpoons the length of my arms, legs, my torso, mounted on walls or under glass. A woman cuts in front of me, to peer closer at the date on a plaque. 150 years ago, the intentionally soft iron, twisted by the will to survive. I lose you. Just when I feel I can't take another harpoon, I step into a champagne light, that cups a life-size sperm whale floating off the floor, suspended by invisible cables. I hear a fizz when I get close, sense the heat of the orange sweater you carry. Where have you been? My blood keens to my fingertips, a song of longing for scars on the soft cream body that cannot be touched. The faint smile on the horizon of lips, as if near extinction never happened. A rope stops us from going under, where I most want to stand and look up, where sex and birth and shit happens, we could be crushed. We keep walking around the whale, talk about the early spring, pines erupting yellow pollen on our cars, your deflated quiche at lunch. On our third lap, you confess you are a Boy Scout. I guess we won't be sneaking under any ropes. What do Boy Scouts sell? Ammunition, I guess. You laugh. The diamond glint of sea and the whale's side unzips as long as your laugh, as wide as your smile. We dive inside. Two. Cream sheets rise and dip in all directions. We roll into the belly. Twilight. The air shimmers with salt. The sea's pollen. Now I see your irises are actually sunflowers. We hold hands, run and roll into the belly again and again. Breathless, everything is felt. Everything we touch is of heat, moisture, pressure. When I speak, your lips move. We lie like a pair of lungs, releasing the intensity of a whisper. We can be any organ, so you pick the brain sometimes. Offer me algebra and long division. Eventually, I lean into you for the answer, and we play our favorite, the heart behind the heart, breathing and pulsing together, giving without asking, will this hurt? Three. Of course, fear is the first harpoon. You merely toss the words, I can't do this forever. I have a son and a patio to build. But they hit me hard in the back of the head, like lemons, the sharp way I start some sentences with, this is serious, to pretend I'm tough. Who brought in the exes? Both of us. The cutting head of memory. The night your parents fought over a gun. Replaced gun with bottle, and mine never stopped. More and more I'm a spleen clinging to you, crying. The door ripped off my closet of sadness. Sometimes I don't realize what I take out, a photo of an alligator with a butcher knife in its head. Am I talking about myself? And you respond with a pigeon who swooped down on your table in Phoenix, a syringe through the neck. What are we saying? The cream sheets are more like concrete. Your smile, a canoe fading, paddling down your black driveway. Could we be the harpoons because we entered this not knowing? Not quite. The heart behind my heart thrashes. Thank you.
Thank you, Emily.
I hope you'll be in my workshop.
Oh, yeah.
Write your own love poems.
Okay, great. And you might have, you have that in the chat room, some links for that, yeah? Okay, wonderful. Okay, thanks, Emily. So next up, can we please have Massimo?
Hey, glad to be here. Last session, there was a woman who came last and did a poem about rain. I love the rain. So here's another poem about rain. With a rain dance, pray like a praise dance. Romance with creation as we take hands. Take a glance at the beauty of these strange lands. Take a chance and take flight where this grace lands. As raindrops drop from a blue heaven, pools collecting where the skies view their true reflection. Leaves wetting, extending for their roots to strengthen. Maybe soon we'll all bloom new and refreshing. A reminder of the cycle that this life is, as our aliveness revives when we're lifeless. We give light and get light as it lights us, because in the end, it's our love for our light that ignites us. Like somebody up there must like us, somebody up there who's just like us, who sees themselves in our beauty as it strikes us, as something outside us, inside us, excites us. So excited that I might bust goosebumps as though moved by a slight gust. So high off life, feel a slight rush, and so in love with creation that I might blush. I see a tree and stand under the canopy. It draws me close and seems to lay its hands on me, makes me grateful for this space that's been granted me, and proud to be born of the human family. I swim in glory in the nature laid before me, as though her elements are telling me her story of her garden and the tenderness that bore me, of the magic in her passion that restores me. I see gray clouds as they're gazing down, draping over like a blanket where I'm safe and sound. I even see a sea of flowers as they lace the ground. It feels like I'm in heaven on earth, and it makes me proud. To think that I was made in this place is so profound. Can you believe that I came from this haven that I found? All right, thank y'all. All right.
That was so nice, Massimo. Thank you. Next, can we please have Pam Campbell?
Okay. The title of my poem comes from a line in Lucille Clifton's poem, I'm Running Into a New Year. Like a wind I catch in my hair. Mama's music chords singing, major and minor, augmented, heartstrings tuned to tone and touch, extended and diminished, suspended. Mamaw's buttermilk, sweet onion tellings, oven warm socks chasing cold winter mornings, mustard poultice chasing congestion, whiskey laced hot tea chasing tonsillitis. Daddy's gray blue eyes, dimpled cheek last sewing, the moon to cradle us. Leavings and comings, stories and songs, you sing lead, Daddy, I'll follow. Daddy Paul Stoken, famished coal furnace, shapes of words and letters, checker playing secrets. Before you move, think of the reply. Keep your back row secure. Move in tight groups in tandem. Baby Sarah's tiny fingers twining round cascading coal black hair, not yet silver white laced. Gurgles and chuckles, deep and ancient, sing straight to my heart. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Pam.
Well done, Pam.
Next up, can we please have Doc Janning, who seems to be from this 2001 Space Odyssey right now.
I'm in syzygy with the night side of Earth and the sun. Okay, I've two poems. Dawn. My heart rises, glowing from the tattered ash and pain of lost love. It rises from sadness into the hope and promise of a new love. It seeks the one who waits just beyond the dawn and flies on winged dreams into the arms of the future. And this is Winter Morn. Somewhere in time, she walks, as is her wont, sky-clad and barefoot through a garden of new-fallen snow. She revels in the chill at the dawn of a new day, just being herself, au naturel in nature, taking in wintry sights. Wrapped about her is a warm cloak of love, woven of her own love for nature and for others, and that of one who loves her. The coolness of the air raises goosebumps across her Rubenesque form as snow begins to fall and melt on her smooth skin. With a smile and a steamy sigh, she returns to her cozy home and the love which waits to surround and enrobe her with its warm weighted blanket. Thank you.
Thank you, Doc. Next up, can we please have Jackie?
Hi. This poem is actually about my grandmother who came from County Mayo and influenced me greatly and prompted my move here. She's long gone. And it's called Lolly Baby, which was our nickname for each other. Her polka dot dress whispers as she moves, walking quickly and firmly toward the church doors. The small and veiled hat is pinned perfectly upon her silver curls, her lips touched with a soft pink shade and a hidden smile. I'd kill for that tapestry purse she holds in the crook of her arm, shades of cream and blue and burgundy woven together and faded. She wore her pearls today with nothing but her wedding rings. I wonder, does she think of him every time she washes her hands? I stared. I know I shouldn't. She is so beautiful to me, with her stoic eyes that correct me without a word. Later, there will be cabbage, potatoes, and pork, and stories, and beer, and cake. And her laugh will fill my ears until I cry, until she does that trick with her bottom teeth. I'm just a ghost walking behind her, and she with me as time ushers by. And now I hold her lilac scarf, smiling her smile and eating red lifesavers. Tea with cream and sugar matches the breeze of her lavender soap. It took a year before I smelled it once again, and finally. Here now, looking sadly, solidly at Neffen by her old broken home, all the stories come to the front of my brain to tumble out of my mouth. To whom shall I tell them? Who wants to know about my Lolly Baby, our Bridget who ran from the farms of Mayo? I asked her once why she left. For pretty dresses, she said, which makes me think of polka dots and pearls. That's it. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Jackie. Next up, can we please have Margaret O'Regan?
Thanks, Jim. This is called empathy. Empathy, to look outside oneself, to move outside oneself, to see society's monster as a human askew, a human I knew from day one anew, to watch, rejoice, celebrate, participate, all the steps of your life, through school and beyond, to look and not see, to know and not know, the demons inside you, the urges outside you, the demon possession, not sought, not chosen. That's it.
Wonderful. Thanks, Margaret. So next up, can we please have Kathy Ryan?
Yeah, hi. I'm going to read a poem called Love Story. I remember the stop in the desert, the shock of silence, before we knew where we were. I remember the yellow smell of the seals permeating the sky, miles before we saw them, roiling and honking in their thousands. I remember the men laughing at our Toyota Hyundai, trusty steed, before it took us to the border through rivers and ruts. I remember the lurch of jealousy I felt when you ran out the door to greet your son across the dusty compound, before I had time to pull my shirt on. I didn't see that you loved me as ferociously as the African sun burns the skeleton coast. After that trip, I left you. I remember the yellow plunge at the shock of separation. That's it. Thank you.
Oh, beautiful. Thanks very much, Kathy. Next up, can we please have Dan Johnson?
Hey there, guys. Hi, Jim. Thanks very much. Shout out UCC. UCC crew. That was a really lovely reading from everyone. I'm going to read a poem I wrote that's kind of modeled after the James Wright, the American poet, his poem at William Duffy's farm that kind of has that crazy last line, I've wasted my life. Yeah, but hopefully I kind of wanted to try and put a nicer spin on it, like, you know. So, walking home from the Lutz's house in Ringwood, New Jersey. I leave you at the top of the hill in waning November light. Our neighborhood strikes up the song. Brown wrens, the knock-on of woodpeckers, engines of minivans and children at play. Late autumn coagulates in the heads of Bellot Road. The sunlight between the latticework of tree branches I experience now again. Newness and the anticipation of memory. To my right, the lake is taking down its borders. Coldness in its waters, yet blazing, even as evening comes on. A jet flies overhead somewhere in the future, and I know I live the best possible life. Thanks very much. Cheers.
Thanks very much, Dan. Next up, can we please have Catherine Ronan?
Hi, everyone. Great evening. My poem is called Rain Party. I wrestle demons in the rain. They blind me with multicolored cloaks. Eyes fill with pools of tapestries. I drink from the rusty barrel, gathering rainwater at my grandmother's cottage. Crows glide home, soaking wet to naked roost. Angels have squirted my pens again. I must decipher the clouds once more. Poets open their mouths to drink, dance together at a rain party. Feet are always wet in Ireland. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Catherine. Next up, can we please have Sue Blue? Oh, you're on mute there, Sue.
Thanks very much. I'm still trying to decide between my two poems. But I guess I will. Okay, I'll go for this one because it's in two languages. It's a translation of a German poem that I wrote in. Yeah, I'm going to dare to celebrate my 7 years over and beyond brain surgery. And I'm going to dedicate this moment to that because this was an insight delivered to me through that experience. And so I'm going to start with the German version and then I'm going to give you my very recent translation. So this was written in 2014. Einblick. An der Grenze zwischen Tag und Nacht, der Nahtstelle zwischen Welt und Geist,
durchdringt sich mein Sein und verwebt sich mein Blut mit dem Fluss der Geschichte. Formt Bilder zu Worten, geeint im Bewusstsein mit dem Feuer des Lebens, durch kosmische Adern strömend wie Glut. Mit dem Atem, dem Pulsen, der Sterne, des Mondes, des Bluts und der Herzen, der Meere, der Zeit, im Kleinsten der Wesen durch Fließen vereint. Und ich stehe verstaunt, bezaubert und sehe im Schauen hinaus auf den Lichtstrom des Alls und erkenne zutiefst, wir alle sind eins. Insight. At the border between day and night, the seam between world and mind, my existence pervades and my blood interweaves with history's flow, forms visions to words in consciousness merged with the fire of life, like streaming a glow through cosmic veins, with the breathing and pulsing of the moon and stars, of bloods and our hearts, of oceans and time, with the smallest of beings in flow we unite. And I'm standing amazed, enchanted, and gaze outward with insight to the light stream of space and profoundly realize we are all one. Thank you very much. Thanks. Thanks, guys.
Thank you very much, Sue. So I just want to, well, we have a quick little break here. I want to wish a happy birthday to two different people. We've got Charles Clark, and we have also got Benjamin Burns, who is Ben here? I'm not sure if he's here or not. But it's a quick happy birthday to them. Okay. So next up, can we please have Cathal Holden?
Hey there, guys. How you doing? So happy birthday to Charles and Ben first. Good to see you guys. Be nice to catch us in person again. This is a new poem. It's called Fingerprints. It's for Ben and Charles. Happy birthday, dudes. Fingerprints float downstream on thoughtlessly plucked out leaves. They loop in and out of the eddies and ripples. They draw in the windows of buses. Fingerprints touch one another. Fingerprints peel off of bottles. They stick to the monkey bars at lunchtime. They jostle half joking in the lunch line. Fingerprints make change. They know the register. They could do it blindfold. Fingerprints have grown old. A handprint in pink plate paint on a plate in a cabinet helps her to take her tablets. Fingerprints flick to the gram at matches. They come home late and they catch on the latches. There are fingerprints on the kettle, softness and metal. Hands draw hands and hands pluck petals. Fingerprints dip in the warm ink of soft skin. Fingerprints finger paint. Fingerprints sin. Fingerprints on a page, slow and deliberate. Fingerprints trace. Stand and deliver it. Meaning is a maze. Fingerprints are literate. Fingerprints on a wrist count pulses. They catch falling feathers. They get licked and then lifted to weather. Fingerprints are sneaky. Stains on the TV. The mark of the artist darked on the back of the canvas. The white hand of Saruman slapped on the back of a black pair of caravans. Fingerprints catch like a breath in a diaphragm. Fingerprints understand us. They are hands, and hands are us. We are over our heads. Nothing is simple. encircled by time like a drop by a ripple. Our days are outnumbered, our palms filled with lines. We are surrounded. Come out with your hands in mine. Thanks, guys.
Thanks very much, Cahill. I just need to check here. I got a message. Pam, did I skip over you or did I get you there?
You skipped over me, but then you came back and got me. Thank you very much.
Okay. Hard to keep track. Thank you. Okay. Next up, can we please have Cedric?
That one doesn't have a title yet. I don't know if it would have one. I've had an idea for a few biblical names, but I'll pick one of them. Maybe, I don't know. Humans at the top of a man-made peak of glass, iron, and concrete. An upward breach beyond their nature. A massive flipped bird at the height even birds cannot reach. Humans at the top of a broken food chain, tainted with plastics, acids, smog. A cowardly attempt to escape their mistakes. A misguided pride still erect, long past its due, moon to noon. Humans at the top of their own species, opaque, torn, burnt dreams. Still raising their hand beyond their perception. To display the results of their passion, ignorance, pain, deceit, condescension. Humans at the top of the heads of the gods that breathe down to the rest of us. A fall none of us will enjoy, weightless until the bodies hit the ground. Maybe one day, reading in the spilled golden blood, they will see the wisdom to be found. Humans at the top of their own hubris, of envy, wrath, and revenge. We run up those mountains, always until they look down and see that the fastest way to leave was always to let go.
Great stuff. Thanks, Cedric. Next up, can we have Kieran McCartan, please? Can't hear you yet, Kieran. Maybe we'll come back to you. Hang on now. Yeah, you're not on mute, but I don't know what way you have the sound at the moment. Maybe if you plug out headphones or plug some in or might help. Will we come back to you? All right, okay. Could we please have Jerry Murphy?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, perfectly, yeah.
This is based on a longer essay by George Orwell, and it's about the 30s, and it's called The 30s. What a decade, a scenic railway ending in a gas chamber.
Thanks very much, Jerry.
It's a bit long, but there you go.
Yeah. Very good. Mary O'Connell, did you want to read? Okay. I haven't heard from Mary yet. We've a request here from GB. So GB, you can go straight ahead. Yeah.
Great, thank you. I'll be reading a poem titled Dead on the Inside. And I wrote this reflecting on a dark time in my life, but pretty much just to express what it is like when you're depressed and in that dark place. Dead on the inside, alive on the couch. The end was far, the lights were bright. The noise was silent, the curtains shut. It was the end, but it wasn't. I could feel, I could hear, I could see, I could talk, I could move. I cried, I laughed, I talked, I walked, I did everything, but did not. I had limped far too long, hoping with each step I'll touch the magical switch, longing all the way to open the door of change. But when it happened, it never did. The switch snapped, the door shut tighter, the knob shattered, and as I sunk into the couch, wailing with tears, I mourned, for I was gone. I was dead on the inside. Thank you.
Thanks very much. Augustina, I think I might have skipped over you there. Did you want to read as well?
Yeah, okay, I will.
Okay, perfect.
Is my audio better?
Yeah, much better.
Funny enough, I also wrote this about depression, but I think I found that I am more perceptive and would we say I find out more about myself when I'm my lowest, if that makes sense. So this was written during one of those moments. I need to be on the ground where I can sit or lie down and soak in the rain. To be alive and absorb and ground myself, connect with the earth and form roots in and from my limbs. That's my low, that's my void.
Thank you, Augustina. Kieran, did you want to try again? I think we might have you now, Kieran. I think I hear some feedback. No, sorry. No, we don't. Okay, we have feedback again now when you do that. Is it? No, I'm afraid not. I don't think the headphones are doing it. We have a suggestion to try just with audio, like maybe the video and audio together is too much. You could try that. Okay. And oh, I'm afraid we still can't hear you. Yeah, I think maybe you could put the poem into chat for us. I'm not sure now what else to suggest. Okay, we're going to have to skip it, Kieran. Sorry about this. I think actually that is everyone. Did Mary O'Connell want to read, or we didn't hear back? Oh, Mags, did you want to read? Oh, I've got to just unmute you there.
Yeah, I'll do something because I'm writing it while we're trying to do our program. So okay. I'm just going to do my thing on something I followed up with stanzas with Margaret O'Regan there. We were on during the summer, the night of the Equality Night for Black Lives Matters. And it's always a chancy thing to talk on this subject. But of course, Frederick Douglass is very topical, you know, in the last one or 2 days. So I just kind of was thinking about his writings. And I said, I just try to remember him because he came to Cork, you know, and he was quite the hit. And he really was transformative. And that's the way he felt it. And went to the UK as well. So he just kind of went on the run and he came back, sort of went from being, you know, talking about abolition to becoming a general human rights advocator. So I just had a chance. Don't blame me if anything sounds bad. I'm going to paraphrase all his own words so, as best I can. So I'm just trying to write it during the tonight. Frederick, name of kings. Douglas, dove gloss, the dark and the green. You boarded a northbound train for your life of oratory and diplomacy. Saw more in 1 year than in all the darkness of your previous years. And in August 18th, 1845, your new life began when you were covered in the soft fog of Ireland. There you were to breathe and become a man. Gazed in vain to see anyone who did not see you as an equal. You befriended our great emancipator. You were there, you were seen here not as a man of colour, but as a man. And when I sip my frothy cappuccino in Cork's Imperial Hotel, and have my airy fluffy pastries, I glance up at the plaque, and your name on that plaque carves it back in my heart, and you speak of social justice, and you breathe again. So I'll just try to do the little bit of music. By breathing low, the chattel becomes a man. I gaze in wonder and amazement at thy transition. Cordiality, hospitality, in the highest rank of society, an entire absence of prejudice against me. I breathe and roar, the chattel becomes a man. A wonder and amazement, behold my transition. Prompt and liberal manner that they offered me their aid to hear the cruel wrongdoings of my downtrodden countrymen portrayed. I breathe and know the chattel becomes a man. I wonder and amazement behold my transition. Across the perilous deep ocean for 3,000 miles to be covered by the soft grey of fog of the Emerald Isle. I live a new life on the other side of the ocean, absent of prejudice an account of the colour of my skin. I breathe and know the chattel becomes a man. In wonder and amazement behold my transition. I breathe and know the chattel becomes a man. In wonder and amazement of education by having it, but I know the value of it by not having it. It's easier to build strong children than repair a broken man. And people might not always get what they work for, but they most certainly work for what they get. Knowledge makes a man unfit to be a slave. I must be true to myself, even at the hazard of incurring the ridicule of others, rather than to be false and incur my own abhorrence. I breathe and know the chattel becomes a man. In wonder and amazement, behold my transition. I breathe and know the chattel becomes a man. In wonder and amazement, behold my transition. That's enough improvising, no? I got through all his quotes.
Thanks so much, Mags. Next up, could we have Sir Stanley Knott, please?
Can you hear me, Jim?
Can hear you perfectly.
I'm a little bit excited out with the sword, but anyway.
Yeah, I knighted you. I decided.
Okay, well, who am I to tell you not to do that, my dear?
I am the queen.
You are the queen. Yeah, you are the queen. Okay, I'm going to do two really short ones. As Jim well knows, this month is LGBT month, and I've been working on a few kind of love poems over the last while. All really short, and they're written with song titles, as always. These are two by gay icons, one male, one female, and let you figure out who they are yourself if you want to do that. So the first one is called Ain't Nobody As Amazing. I believe a moment with you is a ray of sunshine, where fantastic, flawless love moves on white light, and patience, the final freedom, heals the pain of waiting for somebody amazing to love my soul free. That's the first one. The second one goes like this. If you would just look my way, baby, my obsession would spark in your eyes, set promises spinning around heaven and earth. And under the influence of love, your finer feelings would surrender to some kind of bliss as two hearts get carried away on sweet celebration music that whistles. It's no secret you're the one, especially for you. So come into my world and cover me in kisses whenever you like it, baby. That's me, Jim.
Great stuff. Thanks very much, Stan. Okay, next we're going to try Kieran again. He has a different laptop and has snuck in with another name. So we'll see if we're able to get some sound this time.
Hello.
Yeah, we can hear you.
Oh my God, it's trippy. My I'm also on this laptop over here. Two seconds. So thank you so much, everyone, for your words tonight. It's been really a pleasure to listen to you. This is called The Price of Keeping Up to Date on the Football, and it goes out to the BBC. Can everybody hear me? Okay. Yeah, so. To be honest, I'm a little bit unnerved at how up to date I am on the football. Your man would only be in the opening movements of his I just scored a goal face, and I'd know he'd have scored a goal. Without even watching the match, I just feel it. Get a tingle and look it up on the BBC. And what do you know? Your man playing for them got a goal. Then I'd wash my hands with bicarbonate of soda vigorously. For allowing me finger keys, BBC, consecutively, and full stop, spell come and enter. See, I mistakenly took a side spree to the news page and was not surprised to see not much has changed but the date. Listen, to hate is too nice a word, and hate isn't a very nice word at all. But you wouldn't know that for your penchant for making people feel small. God save me, Auntie Jean, and go fuck your racist queen. I'm not being mean. It's obscene, the scene seen and left unshared. With ears well prepared to hear a cozy cat in a tree adventure story in Torquay. Ready to care, wish they were there. Ha, 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 what a laugh. While those Middle Eastern children with no family still haven't woken up from your Blair nightmare or the genocidal dose on your £5 note, but listen, at least you can vote. So don't get offended when we don't laugh at your jokes. Never knew you were hard-ended, grabbing kids by the throat. Some of you just did, though, just did fuck all other than turn into smoke when the kids got tall. Thanks, yeah, I'd rather read the writing on the wall for my news than watch you perpetuate abuse. As the presenter of the News at One looks into his drink, says, you know the thing about champagne that really makes me think is how the strawberries float on top but the cocaine sinks. So don't be making a run at me, Mr. Squeaky Clean in his cabinet. Your establishment hype machine said HQ wasn't having it. Strange to still be seeing signs of life on planet propaganda. Can't quite quell the feeling that it's almost like you planned it. To get our back up like the feet of the fiend sent to report on the famine. Says something, doesn't it, that I'd have to specify which one. Earth drier than your mouth when auto prompt goes on the blink. It's been feeding lines since you've been Murder, Inc. The forefather of the East India Company, a descendant from above, fine-tuned foreign policy.